Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
John and Joe, another episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other cult classics. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
I didn't know if I was going to stick to that this time around. But
cult
here,
classic?
Here we are, yeah. I wasn't sure if I was just leaving that in for the camp theme or what, but here we are. We'll give it a whirl. We'll see how many one-star reviews we get for changing it and make it.
I mean, the camp theme was all horror, so, you know.
That was the one time I didn't need to do it. Well, as we've said many, many times, what the fuck is a horror event? We've never covered another horror-related event, so cult classics probably makes the most sense, so... And what's weird is at the beginning of the show, I remember racking my brain trying to come up with something to put in that spot. Like, it had to be like multiple syllables. And cult classics works fine. Perfectly.
I like it, man. I like it. Do you see, for those that are on camera, do you see how in my like perfectly positioned the microphone is in my face?
Yes.
Like, do you see it on the screen for fucking once, first time in 6 years? Dude, before, like, I was good to go at 9 o'clock. It's now 9:20. I set it up, and, like, all the washers fell off. Like, I don't know how it happened, but, like, the entire microphone fell, and all the washers came off. And I didn't even put some of them back on because it was just such, like, a frustrating nightmare. And somehow the mic is, like... the greatest it's ever been positioned. Yeah.
I fucking love this. I love that for you. Maybe they weren't even supposed to be there.
Well, dude, there's like 8 washers. I can't even make sense of it. Must have been like 4 on each side.
That's fucking insane. Speaking of insane, we have a movie this week that the oh boy, it's Student Bodies from 1981. I'm gonna say that this is part of our back to school theme, but it's not. I think the true programming will start next week. I think I'll be a little more amped up for the rest of the school themed programming. Student Bodies 1981. Man, that cover's great.
Cover is great.
I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had you seen this before?
Not in its entirety. It was on USA up all night frequently.
Yeah, I had never.
I think there might be a reason why I never watched it in its entirety. I'm sure it was attempted.
Hey, there is nothing good that comes out of this movie. I'm going to tell you that much. I'm going to spoil this episode and tell you that.
You're not a fan. You're not a fan of it.
Not a fan. Like multiple times in my notes, I'm like, I hate this fucking movie more than anything.
Well, hey, real quick before we jump into our thoughts, because I do have a lot of thoughts. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Sick Puppy Seth from Gates to Hell. They came to Connecticut. I got to sit with him and talk with him. He is super cool person. I hung out with him before when they came through New England. I know that you have as well, and they're just crushing it. And I think like the coolest thing in the world is his band is very sample heavy. Not like sample heavy. It's not like their gimmick, but they put samples in their music, which I love. And one of the coolest things in the world is that Seth listens to our episodes and then watches movies based on what we talk about and then uses those movies as samples to put into their songs. Like, I asked the rest of the band, I was like, how do you guys come up with this? And they're like, no, it's just Seth. Like, he listens to your episodes. It's like, I got to fucking sample something from this movie. So their newest album, which is great, one of my favorite albums of last year, it starts off with the piano from Manos, The Hands of Fate. Okay. And the kid fucking sampled Iced in one of
that's that Dude, you told Iced. Me that, and that's crazy to me. That's crazy. Now, do we have the audio of the?
I do. The interview? I do. So it'll be up. Seth was very, very humble, and like that, he said the rest of the band dug it. I didn't think it was my strongest performance, but I will. We will put that up.
All right, we can tag it on. Came out good. Bonus. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, cool. So we'll do that for a bonus episode. You guys listen to Gates of Hell talking to Joe. Gates what?
To Hell.
What did I say?
Of Hell.
Oh. That would be a dumb thing to say. Okay. Well, Gates to Hell is what I meant.
Which Sean, it's so funny that you fucking did that, because when I talked to them, I said the band correctly, and then I immediately paused and was like, wait, did I fuck up the name? And then just now when I said it too, I was like, wait, did I say it wrong? It's Gates to Hell.
Gates to Hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have some big news. We have a new sponsor this week that I'm like super stoked on. DraftKings is our sponsor. So with us kicking off the college-themed month, college football right around the corner, it's actually going to be the opening weekend will have already passed by the time this comes out. But your team, Notre Dame, is opening it up. You're a Notre Dame fan, right?
I am.
20-point favorites against Navy. How do you feel about that? You feel good? You got a new QB?
Hammer it. Hammer the over.
I'm going to say don't.
Okay.
I think they're too fresh. They got too many new parts that they'll have to do. And then we're going to do actually some bonus episodes about our betting and about some NFL picks for next week. It'll be great. But I did want to just bring up a few more here. That are you a college football fan or no?
I am.
Okay. Because these spreads are college football spreads are fucking crazy.
Dude, they're nightmares. Like, Alabama will have like a 45-point.
Dude, I've never seen anything like it. I was trying to find like good games, and I was like, oh, TCU Colorado. Okay. Spread is 20.5 points. What are we talking about? Like, that's fucking crazy. TCU, obviously the favorite there. Tennessee, Virginia. I was like, okay, that's got to be like, no, 20 points. 20 points.
Also, you know, week one in college.
It's got to be crazy.
So risky. Because, like, you don't know. Like, I know Alabama's always a good bet, you know, because I already mentioned them. You know they're probably going to do well. But, I mean, it's crazy. Kids are coming out of high school and shit, and, like, you're giving them 20 points.
That's absolutely wild. So Tennessee was 20 points. USC against Nevada is a 38-point spread.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So yeah, you guys are going to be able to use a code horror show to score $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet $5 on college football. So take our advice here.
Don't
do that. Don't take our advice. We are not.
Whatever. If you listen to our Patreons, whatever I choose,
Go the opposite. Steer. So here,
I've lost thousands.
Well, listen, you can't win them all. You win a lot though. You just You just ham it up a little bit, but
I'm down.
Unlike Paul, who's down probably over the last 2 years, $17.
Dude, that's honestly being
and not better. Because he's won so much. Just only betting 50 cents.
50 cents. Sending messages at 1 a.m. I'll wake up and have 25 messages, and they're always like screenshots of the play-by-plays of the game. And I'd be like, can you believe this happened in the 8th inning? Like, what are you doing?
So get your college betting in here while we talk about college. Although, is this college or is this high school? What? Wait, what the fuck is this? This is high school.
What are you saying? What are you talking about?
The student body, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is high school. They're going to prom.
Although, do they even call it prom, or do they just call it the big dance? Because that's what it's like. That was the only bit I kind of laughed at, was it saying the big dance on the screen, or on the...
There was one joke that tickled me pretty well.
Which one was it?
It's when, so a bunch of kids, so let's just jump around for this one. A bunch of kids die, and the school principal is complaining about, like, how much this is impacting him, and he ends his spiel by saying, well, it's probably no picnic for their parents either, which I thought was a pretty good joke.
That's a solid joke in a movie filled with dog shit.
Okay. So before we hop in, Sean, I'll apologize for this one because I pitched it. I really wanted to do night school as well.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to interrupt you. Would have been on the list anyway. Fun fact. Okay. This would have made the list without a doubt.
A lot of people have suggested it over the years, which is why I wanted to. Night school, I don't know too much about, but I found I've talked about it before, but I found a handwritten piece of paper from like 2002 that I wrote down movies I wanted to watch, and Night School's on it for some reason. I still haven't watched it, so I want to do Night School. But a lot of people have suggested Student Bodies. I had seen parts of it on USA Up All Night. It's not good. I wanted to like it more than I did.
Let's preface it. So this is a spoof of horror movies. Very much Halloween, Friday the 13th, Prom Night, all kind of getting shots in there. Or it had to have been Friday the 13th, right? 81?
It's definitely Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I mean, the killer calls and just makes the, like, chi-chi-chi-ah.
Yeah. And it's considered the first movie to satirize the slasher genre.
Well, their original poster in 1981 claims that it is the world's first comedy horror movie, which is completely untrue. I mean, Abbott and Costello existed for 50 years by the time this came out.
I'm even questioning the spoof.
Young Frankenstein.
What was that movie? I think we might have even done it on the show. I don't even remember. Where it was like, something's out in the woods. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but I think that was the 90s, so I think it was like 1990.
Oh, was it? Okay.
That was like Scream before Scream, right?
Yeah, that one was good. So I maybe it is the first spoof of it, but like calling this a spoof is so generous. It's so, so generous to call this. It is one of the most unfunny. That's what kills it for me.
That's what kills
it. It's so unfunny. It is hard. It is hard. And the worst part is, it's a joke every minute. Every fucking... That's not even an exaggeration. I don't think there's a line in here that isn't a joke. And that's hard to swallow when the jokes are awful.
That's the thing. It's admirable with what they try to do. You know, slashers are brand new. Friday the 13th... came out the year before. Halloween is only 2-3 years old at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So I like it. I like the ambition of being like, hey, let's take this craze and make fun of it. They, like you just said, failed so miserably. It is so boring and so unfunny that. I hate it. I honestly, I fucking hate it.
Now.
And the people, can we talk about who directed and who wrote it?
Yeah, that was my next step. Yeah. So directed by Mickey Rose.
Mickey Rose, childhood friend of Woody Allen, which in my opinion explains a lot. Explains a fucking lot. I find Woody Allen's sense of humor to be painfully dreadful, much like this movie. And Mickey Rose co-wrote Bananas with Woody Allen, which I remember watching Bananas because it was on every list of like AFI's top 100 funniest movies of all time. The biggest piece of shit I ever seen. Like, sorry if you like what you like. I know I'm in the minority. Woody Allen sucks. But this guy, childhood friend with him, or high school friend with him, co-wrote Bananas. He also wrote Lamb Chop with Sherry Lewis.
Did he really?
Start. Yeah. So,
I really liked that show when I was a
kid. I like Lamb Chops too. When I saw that fact, I was like, man. Look at it in a different
way. Yeah, but really, when you think about it, like, Lamb Chops is written for children, and Lamb Chop would occasionally go into his or her, I don't know what Lamb Chop was. Lamb Chop would occasionally go into its Don Rickles bag of humor and, like, try and, like, trash people, and it comes off very much like this movie, like, very much.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good, but it's also for children, so.
Right, so it's more acceptable. Right. Whereas this is directed towards fans of slashers.
For adult people.
Yeah. So co-directed.
Yes.
So we get as if one director didn't fail miserably enough. It is co-directed by Michael Ritchie, who had directed the Bad News Bears movies. Fletch Lives, The Candidate with Robert Redford. He wrote Cool Runnings. He wrote the story for Cool Runnings.
Dude, he did Golden Child.
Yep.
Cops and Robbersons, which I love.
Stop. Cops and Robbersons is on this level.
You think so? I haven't seen it since as a kid. When I saw it, I was like, holy shit.
Chevy Chase and Jack Palance in, what, 1995? What a pitch to kids.
I'm not even sure if it was made for children, which is even worse. Oh, no, it's PG. Yeah. No, yeah, I was a big fan of that. Dude, Jack Palance.
It actually checks out because I kind of remember Buzz being an enormous fan of Cops and Robbersons. It was the pinnacle of comedy.
You know what? That might actually be, it's not me. It's just, it was force fed to me. Yeah. And The Scout, a movie I hadn't thought about in forever.
Mm.
With, what's his name from The Mummy? Encino Man.
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, that one. Which I forgot. I thought it was this other one, but it was not.
But Michael Ritchie is credited. He also produced this film. He had his directorial credits removed.
Yeah.
And his producer credits as Alan Smithy, which...
Correct.
I don't blame him.
Well, so it sounded like, from what I read, it sounded like... They saw what was happening and they were like, we need to get somebody in there to show this fucking idiot.
To monitor him.
Mickey Rose.
Yeah.
To monitor him and make sure he wasn't going to just like totally fuck it up. And then some people were like, oh yeah, he did Alan Smithy because, you know, the WGA strike. And then everyone else was like, no, it's because look at the fucking movie.
Yes.
And I was going to ask, what do you think? But I think you answered that for us.
Yeah, no, it's because of the movie, no doubt. Because there's another fact that we'll touch upon that also like reinforces that for me. But I think it's so funny because I read in multiple places that he was pretty much just brought on to just like sit behind Mickey Rose and just make sure that he does his job, which. Honestly, the direction is not my problem with this movie. It's
everything. It's
fine for what it is. It's the writing, which brings us to our producer and kind of writer. He definitely participated in writing, and it is Jerry Belson, who he wrote Close Encounters of the Third Kind for Spielberg. And at this point in time, he was like a veteran sitcom writer. He wrote for the Dick Van Dyke Show. He wrote for Gomer Pyle. He wrote for I Spy. So I don't know what the fuck these three idiots were doing making this movie.
I didn't see that that's who that was written by. But Mickey Rose also wrote it, right?
Mickey Rose wrote it. So Jerry Belson, he was producer, but he does have, he had his hand in assisting with the writing of it.
Okay.
Which I also kind of think might be, I think he probably wrote more than we see now. It was kind of like, you take the credit for this after he realized what a piece of shit this
was. Hey, you know what? That writing credit, I don't need that. that's actually funny.
Well, you mentioned the 1981 writer's strike, mm-hmm. The Writers Guild of America strike. I read, it was from some, I wanted to give it credit, but it was some Texas website. It said that Paramount was hoping to cash in on the serial killer craze with something it could make on the fly while circumventing the unions. And they moved their production to Houston, where the studio could take advantage of Texas's right-to-work laws. So they cast unknowns, and that's why this was churned out the way that it was.
Oh, that is telling.
Yes.
I wonder, and then how did they get Belzer to do this, though? Like,
okay, so
jumping ahead, sorry.
Richard Belzer is the voice of the of the villain, the breather, who... I mean, when you first hear it, it's somewhat comical, but it wears out its welcome
instantly.
Almost. Maybe a minute in,
almost instantly. You're like, "That's funny," and then it's just it's that, and it's so loud, and you're just like, "I'm done."
Yes. Now, did you read that nobody's actually sure if it was Belzer?
You know,
including Belzer.
You know, I don't think it was him. Belzer is a regular on the Howard Stern show, and his voice is, I don't want to say it's iconic, but it's very recognizable. It's
distinct, yeah,
very it's very distinct. I could see for those an argument
for those for that it. Don't know. Sorry, I just interrupted you twice. For those that don't know, Richard Belzer, he's the guy from SVU, Law & Order SVU, and Homicide, Life in the Street.
Yeah, he's been on fucking everything in the world. Law & Order, X-Files he was on. Yeah. He's in Arrested Development, The Wire. He's just this skinny dude that you just is on everything.
You know him. You know, you've seen him.
Seen him a million times. His voice, he has a distinct voice. You could argue that maybe it's his voice in this, but I don't think it is. And I thought that the whole movie. So that's interesting that you said that.
Yeah, so it's rumored that the breather was actually voiced by the aforementioned Jerry Belson, the producer and the writer.
That makes a lot of sense.
Used under the synonym Richard Brando. And Belzer was asked if he did the voice of the breather, and his response was that he was unable to recall if he participated in this film.
You know, like, I feel like that's just a sign right there, you know? I mean, unless he was doing it because he wasn't supposed to because of the union or something, I don't know. But I doubt that.
Yeah. Yeah. Richard Belzer is the only recognizable...
Oh, God,
name.
Far and away.
Sarah Eckhart plays the prom queen, Patty Priswell.
Okay.
And she is only recognizable to people of Texas because she is their senator in the 14th district.
That's amazing. you also have Kristen Ritter. Who also
she's the main, she's the lead. This is her one and only film appearance.
Yeah, she was the center in the Jay Giles Band centerfold music video.
That is correct. Yes.
What else was there? Anyone else notable? There was one other person, Mimi Waddell, who is the older woman in it, was the only one that really had any acting after this.
Yes, and this is only her second film role, the first one being in 1980. She didn't start acting until the age of 66, but after her husband died and she needed to, quote-unquote, pay the bills.
I love this one. Cullen Chambers, who was third billed, appeared in numerous films and TV shows, so you're like, oh, nice. But his main employment has been as a body double for Morgan Freeman, Denzel Washington, and Forrest Whitaker. So... not the acting credits you're looking for as a body double. What is a body double do? That's just like a stand-in for like when they're not facing the camera, right? That's so fucking insane. Because like you already have a stunt double. Why wouldn't you just, I don't know, whatever. I'm not in the biz.
Can we talk about Malvert?
We can talk about Malvert, I guess, because... this motherfucker has his own section in Wikipedia, this character, for a character that's on screen, like, for 5 minutes total, and is just, it's just odd, an odd character.
Oh my god. It's plot, production, R rating, parodies, these are the headlines on Wikipedia, and then The Stick, which is dedicated to Malvert.
Malvert, the guy that played Malvert was referred to as the Stick. That's what he went by as his name. He was a performer, a double-jointed performer.
Okay. That actually answers what I was going to ask you.
Which is
because what? Every time that guy moved, things were in places that they should not be. It honestly was like really, really affecting me.
Yeah, it affected me also. not in the best way. But he had a bit at the end that I did like at the end of the movie. When he was a professor. Stick. When he was suddenly like smart and was like, how dare you?
Fucking Wizard of Oz ending, dude.
I don't even want to fucking talk. Doing that at the end and then reverting back to the other
and then going back. So it's a whole build up, and then it's the Wizard of Oz ending, and then it's the ending of Carrie. So just
it's honestly, it might have been the most angry I've ever been at a movie. Biggest waste of my fucking time that I've ever had the displeasure of dealing with here. Absolutely out of control. I can't believe August 7th, 1981. And they claim to have made $5.2 million at the box office. And I don't believe that even for
that is nuts in 1981. I mean, I know the only thing I can think is that people were duped because of the slasher craze. Because everyone was churning it out.
Yeah, I mean... can we, wait.
This is rated R, by the way.
What other movies were out in August 1981? An American Werewolf in London. Is that honestly coming? Dude. That got released a couple weeks later. So that didn't take away their... why are they all horror movies? Wait, what the fuck?
Evil, dude, yeah. Horror was king.
That's crazy. August 19th.
Evil Speak, Deadly Blessing... Hell Night, which I was going to suggest, by the way.
Is Hell Night a school movie?
Linda Blair. It's not good at all, in my opinion, but I was going to suggest.
That sounds good. Good suggestion, then. All right, August 7th. Well, Heavy Metal had come out. Okay, Student Bodies, thenumbers.com claims they made $1.5 million That weekend. That can't be that weekend. Could it be?
Opening weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it went up against Soggy Bottom USA, Hell Night, Heavy Metal, and Eye for an Eye, which I don't know what that is, and Condor Man. I don't know what that is either. Okay, Condor Man grossed $0, so... there you go.
Why are we not covering Condor Man?
I don't know.
Well, it's a spy film.
So they had there was like nothing in theaters unless Escape from New York was still in theaters, which came out in July. That would be like a month later, which I don't know how long movies run. So it was probably there, but not taking up a lot of their real estate. Zorro the Gay Blade came out end of July.
Plus, there's a writer strike going on, so people are probably, you know.
Yeah, so I get, maybe it did. Maybe they were able to pull in that many people. I believe it. I love this. Hey. We're looking at these numbers. American Werewolf in London took in $61 million. That release, so good for them.
Condor Man, first off, it's somehow Disney. I've never seen this. And it looks like the biggest piece of shit.
Oh, by the way, sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. Oh, and we're just like rambling right now. Student Bodies took in 1.5 total, million total. That 5 million is adjusted for inflation.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it only made 1.5 million.
I still feel like that's too high.
I agree with you completely. But like there was nothing else out, man, you know. Heavy metal made $3 million. Okay, that's enough of this. I could just go through this shit forever because it's just like so interesting to me. All right, so Malvert is a character. Do we have anything else to say about Malvert besides?
No, that was it. He's double jointed and
pisses in waste baskets, and just constantly says Malvert P. Red. Fuck. That joke sucked the first time they ran it, and then they ran it again, and it sucked again. And I was like, they're just gonna keep using these, huh? Which, hey, that tracks because they reuse the same scene 17 fucking times every time. Two people are killed, which is every time. It's always killed in pairs, and it's the same thing that happens every single time. Do you know how easy it would be to fucking make this movie? That's what I was thinking the whole time, you know? Like, me and you could have written this easily. This is a bad draft.
Dude, I agree. Like, I don't think we could do what Hollywood real writers do, but no. This movie...
Yes, easily.
...is spoofing... You know, the hottest movies. Like, these guys are... They have careers that they've been doing for almost decades now, writing comedy. The material was there for them. The Wayans were able to do it and knock it out of the park. Like, I don't understand how these guys failed so poorly.
We would actually, to make it this level, we would actually have to try less than our hardest to make a movie or write a script. We would not have to try that hard because the jokes that they wrote were not joke. They weren't fucking jokes.
They weren't jokes. right off the bat, we see the house and it says Halloween in it, right? Yeah. And then it changes to Friday the 13th. Yeah. And then it changes to Jamie Lee Curtis's birthday. Is that supposed to be funny?
Dude, I think it's supposed to be a fucking LOL. A
knee slapper, yeah.
And we hear that breather loud and clear when we open up the movie. Very clear. By the way, did you notice that they like, were they changing characters' names like in the movie or like mispronounce? Cause this woman's name was Julie that we meet, but then later the boyfriend, I swear to God, is calling her Judy and then back to Julie.
I did not notice.
And then his name was Johnny. And then somebody calls him Charlie. And I was like, this has got to be a fucking gag right now. But all it did was fucking infuriate me. But then as the movie went on, I was like, I do think that might have been a fucking gag. Because everything else is just as dumb as that. Because in the moment, I was like, no, why would they do that? But then I was like, oh, they might have thought this was fucking peak fucking comedy right here.
You can't put anything past these three.
So we meet Julie, who's babysitting. She gets a call from Toby, who is our lead female, and who is like, hey, FYI, Julie, for that test on the Civil War, the North won. Julie goes, oh, heavy. What the fuck?
I hate it.
What the fuck are we talking? What the fuck? Is it? Why is that a joke? It's not a fucking joke. Dude, even better. Wait. Actually, I feel like we're going to laugh a lot harder reading these jokes. But because, first of all, I should have no notes on this movie because there's nothing. It's all fucking useless. It's all dog shit. But I have so many notes because it's a joke a minute. And I couldn't help but like write down nearly all of them. Like, because they're so bad. So she hears a cat meowing. So she goes to check it out. And this is one where I'm like, I'm going to start laughing when I explain this because it's so fucking dumb. When you see it, it's not funny. But when I recite it, I feel like I'm going to laugh really hard. She hears a cat meowing. She goes, she opens the back door and they've dubbed over a cat meowing over a dog barking outside. Like you don't hear, you see a dog barking, but they're just playing meowing. And they just start playing fart sounds over we put a child like at a fucking soundboard and it's just like meow meow and then it's literally
like, you're right, dude, because I did not laugh at that. I was like, that can't be serious. Now you're saying it, like, that's actually unbelievable. And that's not the only time farting comes into play in this movie, which I guess is impressive because you and I, big fart fans,
big, right? Fart fans,
fart humor is like the apex. This is the worst. You have to try. You have to be so bad
to make farts unfunny.
To make farts not funny, dude. When that corpse is farting in the morgue,
dude, because then they kill it with this insane dialogue that I think is supposed to be funny, but it's fucking not. Like the nurse is like, you know what we say, corpses fart, and you're like, what the fuck does? What are you saying? Also, this movie is rated R, correct?
The movie is rated R, which there's no nudity.
No gore.
There's no gore. There's one scene where they try to pull a Monty Python off and they have some guy unrelated be like, this movie is going to be rated R, but there's no boobs, so I'm going to say fuck. That's not a gag.
That honestly made me mad.
Yeah.
It honestly, like, if I saw that, I probably would have walked out of the theater because this is 100% correct. They're like, even the on-screen deaths, so you don't see any deaths on screen. You might see the occasional person dead and maybe just a little bit of red blood, like, by the wound.
Yeah, you see the paperclip death. Yeah.
Barely any fucking blood whatsoever. Like, it's not even, you can't even call it blood. You don't see anything. There's nothing serious about this movie. This is PG-13 at best. And then they have this break, like Joe's mentioning. The guy comes on and is like, yeah, you have to have nudity or violence. And this doesn't have either. So fuck you. And like looks into the camera and says that. And that's how they got their R rating. And I was like, why would you even bother doing what? So the first time I'm arguing to do PG-13, like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? That's honestly upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. This, besides that, like, that just hammers the nail in that these three guys are so painfully unfunny and don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, that is the worst bit ever. But this might have been saved if they tried to do it like an anthology because they're spoofing so many different movies. The beginning of this movie, while not good, is I kind of get what they're doing there. And it was kind of working for what they were doing. It wasn't working at all. I don't know what I'm saying. But it wasn't the worst thing. Once this opening segment with the babysitter ends, it is the biggest drag of a movie.
Oh, it was brutal. So she goes, checks the door, closes it. We get prompts on the screen, which will continue throughout the movie. And like, not funny again, like not
kill count,
not even remotely funny, not even remotely cool. There's a prompt on the door that says, or on the screen that says, door is unlocked with an arrow pointing to the fucking door. Okay, cool. Then she gets a call because he's been breathing heavy this entire fucking time. And he's like, I said, which again, like, you're like, okay, I get it. That's kind of funny. But then the gags just keep happening. So the phone keeps ringing. It's like shaking. The phone's shaking. She picks it up. The breather spit is coming out of the fucking mouthpiece.
Doesn't even make sense.
It's not even coming out of the right fucking hole. It's all fucking asinine. And then she gets jumped by her boyfriend who's there, who makes a joke that's like, you can't wash away herpes. That was like his, like, because she's like, can you go clean up? Or she goes, are you clean? And I think he's like, I took a shower. And she's like, oh, come on. And he's like, well, you can't wash away herpes. Okay, buddy. Like, what a fucking gentleman. But the breather gets into the house. He immediately opens a desk where he finds a million murder weapons. And he's trying to figure out which one he wants to use. And he chooses a fucking paperclip.
Which, in hindsight, probably the best visual gag in the movie somehow.
Easily. If it wasn't surrounded with dog shit, you'd be like, okay, that's funny. Like, but it's not. It's not. And then we watch him go up the stairs and he's breathing heavy and he's like saying shit like, oh God, I hope I don't die first. All these stairs. Fucking unreal.
The squeakiest shoes.
The squeak.
I mean, he's walking up the stairs for 15 minutes, which I think is their gag, but it's exhausting.
I don't know if it's the gag, honestly. And then he's like stepping in gum and putting his hand in gum, which is a return, a gag that will return.
It returns next time we see him.
Which means that they put this in and then they were like, you know what would be so funny? Everyone's going to be dying laughing at that first gum scene that we got to hit them with it again. They'll fucking shit their pants laughing.
And that's exactly what they said to each other, because once that scene comes back the second time, the breather's immediately like, not again.
Oh, not the gum again. I'm going to kill the guy who's spitting his gum everywhere. Dude, honestly, I want to fucking take a tack hammer to these guys' fucking heads. Because, like, just imagine us in the pitch room, just, like, pitching that bit. Like, oh, and then he's going to say, oh, not again. No, I'm going to fucking kill the guy who's spitting gum everywhere. And another guy had to be like, oh, my God, that's so fucking funny. Put it in.
Sean, it was three guys. It was three guys that were saying that.
Like, yes, include that. Oh, and he even makes a joke about the gum being sugarless. He's like, oh, it's sugarless.
Bro. The shittiest. The worst.
He gets in and he kills Julie with a paperclip. Actually.
Yep.
Actually kills her with like a dozen paperclips to the face, which would not kill you. Can we just make that clear? And then he kills the boyfriend with a garbage bag, which, oh God, I hate this movie so much.
I think they're playing, they're paying homage to Black Christmas with the phone calls in the beginning. The house looks the same and it has the plastic bag kill.
Okay. That's what I thought. But then why do they just keep doing the garbage bags throughout the movie? By the way, guys, hey, fun fact, if you're not going to watch this, and I suggest you don't, this is the same setup as every other kill. It's two people having sex, the boyfriend being like, oh shit, I don't have any fucking condoms, goes and gets condoms, they kill the woman in a... the dumbest way possible, I guess you could say. Whether it's paper clips or an eggplant or an eraser, like a chalkboard eraser, that's how they kill the women. And then the guy comes back and is like, what? And then they put him in a garbage bag. And they even reference in the movie, they're even like, how does a garbage bag kill people? And they're like, I don't know. I think it's just how you kill men. And they're like, oh, okay. So there's no murder. There's no murder to the men. They just wrap them up in a garbage bag and that's the end of them.
Right. And again, I just want to highlight, we've already spoiled the ending and none of this is real. It's all the Wizard of Oz. So what we're watching is even more pointless and idiotic than what we're describing. So.
Yeah. Which is the ultimate gotcha at the end.
The ultimate fuck you to us.
Truly, honestly. The parents get home. We get an insane scene. The parents that they're babysitting for, although there was no child in the house. So
there was not, no.
But the parents get home and she's like screaming. She screams like multiple times. And every time you're like, oh, she found the body. And she's like, she didn't do the dishes and she gets paid 75 cents an hour.
Hammering the 75 cents an hour.
That was another gag that no one gave a shit about. But then we get our body count because she does walk into the bedroom finally. And we get our body count of one. Then they look in the bag and we get our body count of two. And it's not even like nicely done. It's just like thrown up on the fucking screen in giant. And it just says dead. Dead. What do you call it? Parentheses? No. Parentheses, yeah. No, parentheses are the curve. Thing? What's the two dots?
Yeah, what are you talking? A colon?
A colon? Hey, colonoscopy? That was my best joke based on this movie. Trying to do it like the movie did. Just as effective. Anyway, so
Paul made that Tom Thumb joke.
That's still like such a good joke.
Because
Thumb Tom. Because the guy spelled Tom T-H.
Right, but that's not... I think you said Thumb Tom. Paul asked what Tom's last name was. Thumb. That was
his punch. Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
I always give him credit for the whole thing.
And the worst part is he's doing an Uncle Buck homage for the bug spray. The guy named Bug.
Oh, man. We cut to the funeral. Where we meet a bunch of other cast members, including the Stick. What's the Stick's character's name again? Malvert. Where Malvert is at the funeral of two dead children, yelling "sex kills, sex kills," and then two other kids are like, "I'm so fucking horny right now. I just need to have sex."
Walk away from the funeral to the car
while everyone's watching. The funeral stops and they all watch these two go into the car to fuck. And then, of course, the guy's like, oh god, I forgot my condoms. So he goes to get condoms. Killer shows up, kills her with a horse head with the punchline, I'm gonna give you a horse head.
That is the punchline. He starts by saying, "Yoo-hoo, anybody home?" They're in a car.
Why?
I'm gonna give you horse head. The fuck are you talking about?
Dude, you could do like, there's a million things. And why the horse head? Why is that even a thing? Who thought about that?
Making the only thing I can think of is they're making a Godfather reference 9 years later.
That's fucking stress. And it's not even like she doesn't wake up with the horse head at her foot or any. Sucks.
No. But why else doing a horse head? And it comes into play like two scenes later.
Dude, the fucking the guy that makes the horse heads. The shop teacher, you won't shut the fuck up about horse heads. We have to listen about horse heads the whole fucking movie. The fucking horse heads do not go away. They were just like, we got. It's like that. Oh fuck! What's the Tim Robinson show? Fuck! I can't think of the name. I can't think tonight for some.
I think you should leave.
You know the bit where he's trying to unload all the fedoras and the tiny plastic meatballs. I feel like somebody had an abundance of wooden horse heads and like needed to unload it, so they just sold it to Mickey Rose for the movie. Like Mickey Rose's cousin. It was probably fucking Woody Allen. He's like, I gotta unload fucking 8,000 horse heads.
You crack the case.
Please just buy them. Use the budget of your movie to buy them. Use them in the movie. So now there's just a giant horse head scene. Tell people it's an homage to the fucking Godfather. Anyway, so those kids go and have sex. The breather shows up, kills her with the horse head. Dead three. The boyfriend comes back from getting condoms. He gets the trash bag treatment also. So, there you have it.
And again, they're at a funeral.
Correct.
People.
Everyone's watching them, as I mentioned.
Maybe 25 feet away.
We are then introduced to a blind man and a man in a wheelchair who we are introduced to them by because they crash cars into each other. I think that was a comedy bit also. And these guys just randomly stay in the movie but are not characters, I would say. I would go as far as to say that they're not really characters, but they're just around.
For sure.
So glad that they included that in that. We meet our shop teacher, who I mentioned. He's making horse head bookends.
Bookends, yeah.
And also wears the glove that our killer does. So, and he's being a little bit of a creepy asshole and, you know, a little red herring there. Could it be our shop?
This movie could be good. We said it before. It has the parts. It could be interesting.
I would argue that if they gave this to anybody in Hollywood, anybody else, you'd get a pretty decent movie out of this.
Yeah.
I think this was such a failure.
I agree. Because even before when you were listening, like, you said that they use a chalkboard eraser.
Yeah.
That could be fucking funny. Like, you could do stuff spoofing slasher movies at the time.
But that's the thing. You don't even see them kill them. So you're not even spoofing the kills.
Right.
I'm looking at the cover right now, and I just realized it says 13 and a half murders plus 1,423 laughs.
What a fucking asshole. What a bunch of assholes.
Student bodies. And then underneath that it says, the laugh count begins. That's crazy. That's crazy. This would be the first movie where, you know how we talk about directors are like, actually it was a comedy. This is the first one where they do the opposite. Yeah. Actually,
we weren't trying to be funny.
Yeah, that's not supposed to be funny at all. Just supposed to be avant-garde.
It's a slasher.
The breather then starts spying on a girl's locker room and is just fucking screaming. Like, I've never heard a breather breathe by, like, screaming. It's just like, ah. He's the loudest fucking breather of all time. And he's just saying things like, boobs.
Literally just saying boobs.
Belly buttons. Then he says, and he's right next to these girls, so I don't know why they don't hear him. He goes, I'm doing what mommy told me not to do, which is, I think it's jerking off. I assume it's jerking off. Then the screen goes black. He faints. It like goes up. And then it says 1 minute later, which again, is that a fucking joke? Is that like, what is that joke? Like, what? Why did we jump cut to a minute later? What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, he starts chasing Toby around, but she's able to escape because, as we mentioned, he steps in gum again. I'd like to kill the kid with the gum, is what he says. But that's okay. We cut abruptly to the town parade. And the principal says, a lovely day for a parade, which I don't know why the principal is in charge of the parade. And then his, what is she? She's a coworker of some type. She works with the principal. We'll figure out the truth later, but principal says a lovely day for a parade, and she goes, or a murder. Doesn't that just answer the end of the movie right there? Right? Like, spoilers, it's them. And then we cut inside one of the floats, which is a bowl, and the breather's in there with two people trying to have sex. Now, stop if you've heard this one before. The guy forgot his condoms. He leaves the girl behind to go get condoms. The girl is murdered with an eggplant, which is like, even before I think eggplants were
the dick emoji.
The dick emoji. So like, it has a better vibe now, because I think back then it was just a fucking vegetable.
I would put money that nobody in 1981 was making
put correlated. Yeah. Like, it's just funny that he chose an eggplant. Because it's not funny though, because you have to sit there as the viewer for over 5 minutes while you get killer POV of the guy, the breather, going, I need something to kill her with, while he's 3 feet away from her and she's looking around being like, what is that noise? And then ultimately, after 5 minutes of that, he's like, eggplant. And that's what he fucking kills her with.
Yeah. You nailed it. That's what the rest of this movie is such a drag. The scenes last so much longer than they need to.
Dude, it's crazy.
For a comedy. What are you doing?
Just to listen to the breather talk and breathe. It's fucking asinine. Anyway, so she dies, boyfriend comes back, and he gets the garbage bag. So our death count is up to six. Six very unoppressive deaths. Agonizing. We get the break here. Right after this is the break, the Monty Python type break, where a newsman is like, this is supposed to be rated R. Then we cut back, and the killer is calling people and using a rubber chicken, which...
like talking through its asshole so the mouth is up against the phone.
But that's got to be an homage to that one slasher, right? Which is the one that where he talks like a duck.
The New York Ripper?
When a stranger calls?
Well,
or no.
New York Ripper, he talks like Daffy Duck. But Black Christmas, that Christmas, he makes those calls where he sounds like a...
Oh, yeah. So maybe it's about that. I don't know. It sucks. And he doesn't do it. He's not doing the duck voice. He's just talking through.
Well, it's a chicken. So it's a fucking chicken. So why is it? I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Somebody can explain. Like, you can be mad for not getting this. So please, I want to know. Is this an homage to a different movie?
I don't know. But the scene is only used to clear everyone in the room right there. Which, fun fact, the two killers are in the fucking room in this scene. I'm pretty sure everyone that works at the school is in that room.
Yeah, but Sean, again, none of this is real. So.
Oh, I forgot. None of this fucking matters. I'm going to tell you something. Any movie that ends with the whole fucking, none of it was real. No.
Aside from the Wizard of Oz. They pulled it off. That's all we needed. We got it that one time.
Blew your fucking mind. Blew your hair back in 1902 or whenever the fuck it was made. Get ready for a fucking dissertation from Paul about how stupid I am. Yeah, I think it was 32 also. But
39 maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
But, you know, we'll both get a letter from Paul. So thanks for that.
We're in it together.
But yeah, no, you know, that was great back then. Blew everyone's hair back. You can't do it now. It's a fucking cop out. Just end the fucking movie. And especially this movie, man. Like, there's nothing thrilling about this where you're like, holy, you're just like waiting for it to end. You're just praying for it to end. Anyway, we haven't mentioned this yet, but Toby, the lead female, her role this whole movie has just been being blamed for the murders, which is fucking psychotic because she's just like, well, also she is at the scene of the crime every fucking time. Because she randomly is like, I'm going to go over here. And then just goes to the scene of the crime and is like, holy moly. And then everyone else shows up and is like, you're for sure killing these people. But she is never arrested, which is good.
Well, hey, I just looked up when the New York Ripper came out. Because that killer is very much a duck voice. So this came out, New York Ripper came out the year after this. And fun fact, the New York Ripper.
Don't even.
Shows the title Student Bodies on a theater marquee. So you know Fulci got his fucking jollies watching this
movie. Dude, he was like, that's the funniest fucking idea I've ever seen. A chicken calling.
Fuck, I wish he was still alive so somebody could ask him.
I don't want to know. Because if he tells me he was influenced by Student Bodies, I'm done. I'd end the show. I'd be like, you know what? Nothing's real anymore. Nothing's fucking real. So we go to a football game, which the killer has said he will strike at. And at the football game, more kids go to have sex, which means the breather's back. And hey, this time the guy isn't missing a condom. He has those. But he decides that he's going, because there's trash, they're trying to have sex under the bleachers. But there's trash coming down from the fans on the bleachers. And he says, be right back. I'm going to go get a blanket and a broom. This motherfucker's going to clean up. Just go somewhere. Go anywhere else. The fuck are you doing? Anyway, so he does that, and then they kill the girl with the eraser.
Yeah.
A gag, they're not even in school. They're outside of the school.
Right.
Which is great. Great place for that gag to happen.
Would have worked great if it was like a detention scene.
They could have went into the school to have sex.
It's fucking the
cause everyone's because everyone's at the football game.
Would have made 1,000 times more sense.
So you see how hard that took us to figure out? Like, it's not that fucking difficult to write these things. And listen, I know we do criticize movies with better writing, but we know that we can't always write, you know, some of the things people write. But this is not that hard. This is not that hard. This is very easy. And would have been very easy to proofread. And be like, hey, you know what? That just doesn't even make fucking sense. Let's just shoot this in one of the rooms that we've already shot something in. And just bing, bang, boom. There you go.
Fucking. Do you remember when clapping the chalkboard erasers was a classroom job?
A job.
You had to do? Yeah. Which you got assigned it.
Think about all that shit we breathed in, clapping out sharks.
But listen, it was the greatest job because I would milk that. I'd be out there for like 20 minutes. It's not fucking, there's still shit coming out.
Classroom jobs were the best. We should talk about classroom jobs on the Patreon this week. Okay. Because I was not a good little kid in elementary school. At least in fifth and sixth grade, I was fucking troublesome.
So my mom went to Miss Patterson's class. I always signed up for the chalkboards, so I didn't have to listen to that fucking
wait.
We were out in the trailer.
You were in Miss Patterson's class.
Oh yeah.
Wait, I got to write this down because we got to talk about her. Legally, I don't know the ramifications of talking about her, but we'll.
No, fuck her. She is a criminal and hopefully dead.
Joe, if she's not dead, then she needs to.
She was like 95 in 1992. She's most definitely dead.
I've never seen anyone older when I was in second grade.
Yeah, but that's the thing, because like 1992, like she might have been 40.
Dude, I know.
I was just looking at pictures of like 40-year-olds from 1985. It's fucking alarming.
Oh my god. Oh, that's great. Okay, so they killed girlfriend with the eraser. They killed a boyfriend with a trash bag. And they also somehow end up on the football field in the middle of a pig pile. Is that what they call it? A pig pile? And they get a 15-yard penalty because there's a body on the field.
A body on the field.
And we have 33 minutes left of this fucking movie. And then the breather decides to take us on a break and be like, so who do you think I am? And starts listing off people. The answer was, I don't give a shit. He's listing people that I was like, do you really think you've set this up so well that we're like, huh, like a Who Shot Mr. Burns-esque fucking ending? Like, no one gave a fuck. Everyone was like, what the fuck are we doing? Could you? I can't imagine watching this in theaters.
It'd be miserable.
It'd be the fucking worst. We go to the,
and again, dude, not, I can't emphasize this enough. I know, like, nudity doesn't mean everything in movies. When you are spoofing a slasher in 1981, where like everyone that is going to see slashers mind is being blown every time. Like, I cannot believe I'm not in a porno theater and there's just all these boobs and blood and guts and gore, and this is fucking awesome. And now you're spoofing all these movies that do this, and you don't put any of that in here.
None of it.
I would be furious.
None of it.
I was furious watching this last night.
Absolutely none of it. Yeah, I watched it today and was like, I'm so fucking mad. Toby, who again is our lead, but you wouldn't know it because she just shows up when people die, goes to the big dance. There's an entirely too long a segment of her trying to steal the keys from the principal because she thinks the principal's done it, so she wants to investigate his classroom. Two more kids have sex, which means a breather shows up. And this time it's in the wood shop where the teacher's hiding in the closet because he's making fucking horse heads and I think jerking off to him. I think he's like horny for horse heads. I don't know. But the guy leaves to go get a condom again. Then the screen flashes big mistake on it. Dude, like, you're not that fucking clever. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, dude, do you think we're like, that's honestly insulting almost. Like, that's not even fucking funny. Like, you're not even playing on a trope. You're playing on your own trope that you've created here. Like, this sucks. This sucks. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just like, it's so unfun. It's so unfunny. I'm getting flustered. Anyway, the breather shows up and kills the woman with her own prom crown. But while this is happening, it cuts to the woodshop teacher in the closet, and it's just playing war noises, like fucking machine guns and planes bombing shit. And you're like, you don't know that he attacked her with the crown yet. So you're like, did he shoot her? And then you go out, and she's just got the crown stuck in her head. And you're like, what the fuck was that? How is that funny? Dude, like,
it's not, Sean.
Dude, it's fucking alarming. Dude, honestly, it's fucking crazy. Oh, dude, imagine being this guy's kid or like significant other, and like, he's like, we're gonna go to the premiere of my new movie, guys. Like, you're gonna be so proud of me. And it's this. I'd be like, Dad, I don't ever want to talk to you again. You're a fucking idiot, dude. It's fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts. And then the guy shows back up, and I'm pretty sure he was gonna fuck her corpse, but he gets garbage bagged. So our kill count is up to 10, which, if you remember the poster, we only have 3.5 murders left. One of which is the shop teacher who tries to get away, but is caught by the breather. The breather has a chainsaw, and he's like, listen, buddy, put the chainsaw away. And the breather does. And he's like, good job. Now put it on the shelf. Dude, the breather takes it and like boops him on the head with it. Like, I mean a literal like boop, like taps him in the head with it. And the shop teacher goes down like a fucking bag of rocks. It is a chainsaw in a case, in its protective case. It's not the chainsaw. The chainsaw is not on. It is turned off and in its case, and he boops him with the fucking case. He's dead. Fucking insane how no one ended this filming. Toby goes into the principal's office because she was able to steal the keys. Goes through the folders, which have like the most insane names, like domestic prostitutes, prostitutes domestic, prostitutes foreign. Like, the fuck are we talking about here? Ron Reagan.
And she, Ron Reagan, dude. the worst bad. That one stuck out to me. Dude, we already watched her speak to her school psychiatrist, right? At this point.
Yeah, but like, I don't.
I know you glazed over it. It's not important. I just want to highlight that we watched like an actual therapy session for a character in this movie of all movies.
Correct. And that's where I had to like. That's where I had to stop taking notes at certain points because it was so unfunny and so pointless. And like, what does the therapist do other than they're like, when the breather was listing off all the people, he was like, could it be the therapist? Why would I think it was the fucking therapist? He showed up for 3 minutes to do that scene. And that's it. I have no interest in that fucking guy or that scene. Like, that's fucking crazy. The guy sucked. Call me daddy. Well, now I say it. It's funny, but
it's not funny. It's not. The guy sucks.
But the principal shows up while she's going through the folders and starts taking off his clothes while Toby is explaining why she thinks he's the breather. And he does say one thing that's funny here, which is all these years I've been secretly naked underneath my clothes.
I mean, in any other movie, that would not be funny. No. This crowning achievement.
By dude, my threshold is so low in this movie that I would take anything that even remotely resembles an actual fucking joke. And for some reason, he has I Heart New York on his chest.
Yeah.
Which, again, I kind of thought was a New York Ripper thing, but that came out fucking later.
So. No, New York Ripper plagiarized this movie.
Dude, Fulci watching this being like, dude, what if the Italian translation is zero comedy? Like, it doesn't translate. And they were just like, he was like, what a great slasher. He probably thought it was so artistic that he didn't show any fucking kills. He was like, fucking.
Now that is a conspiracy I can get behind.
Like, the Italian translation doesn't translate the comedy well. So just like, dialogue. He's like, holy shit.
Fuck.
That guy's a madman. His I Heart New York on his chest. The principal grabs a trophy to try and kill her and somehow stabs himself in the ass because he slips on marbles on the floor. Fucking Keystone Cops shit.
So stupid.
My note after that is this movie fucking sucks. She goes then, so that guy's dead. She goes and finds her boyfriend in another room, but he's dead with a hand in his mouth. So you're thinking, oh shit, did the principal did it? Did the principal not do it? And then you hear a voice say, he's dead like all the others. I didn't even have to bag him. And it's Miss Mosley who reveals that, yes, it's her, but it's also the principal. But the principal only kills women, and she kills the men. And the reason she kills the men is because she's covering up the tracks for the principal because she's his mom. I've never heard a more convoluted piece of shit mess ending until
it becomes
more convoluted. Because Toby escapes, has the most deranged supernatural scenes in the movie where she's running around and like the entire student body is like it's almost like a bad trip or something, you know, like the rooms are all weird. Everyone's acting bizarrely, more bizarrely than they had been. And then she jumps out a window and wakes up. And we do the actual Wizard of Oz ending where she's like, oh, you were a woodshop teacher in my dream. And in this one, he's French and he's like, oh, oui, oui. And Malvert, she's like, you were a janitor. And he's like, oh, how dare you? He's like a fucking like sophisticated professor in this. So that is that. She wakes up, but that's not the end of the movie.
Unfortunately, no.
Because she's hanging out with her boyfriend peacefully in the woods, and then he strangles her to death. So it's real, and he wore the gloves that the killer did. And then they go to the funeral. And at the funeral, everyone's back to being the characters that they were prior to the dream. And you know that because Miss Mosley, who, as you could tell, is a woman, Miss Mosley, when she wakes up from the dream, Miss Mosley is actually a man, like Mr. Mosley. But at the funeral, she is back to Miss Mosley. So, there you have it. And then Hardy, the boyfriend, goes to put roses on the grave. And is like, sorry for killing you. And then, I guess she's a fucking zombie. She wakes up and strangles him.
Yeah, it's the end of Carrie. The hands come out of the grave. Yeah. Yeah, a fucking laugh riot.
It's up there with one of the worst we've done, and it's again like you said, the direction isn't the worst thing in it, but
this is entirely the writing.
Yeah.
Entirely the writing. I don't blame the cat. I mean, they're a bunch of no names, right? They're fine.
They actually did fine. Yeah.
They did fine. We've seen worse actors. We've seen worse direction.
Yeah.
It's strictly the writing.
It's so bad.
Not a single joke lands.
It's definitely the worst comedy we've ever done. Not that I know how many we've done, but it is not good. And that is Student Bodies, 1981. So that's that. We have a Patreon to record after this, so we're gonna do that. We don't have a schedule for September yet. That's correct. So tune in to the Instagram page at I Hate Horror, and Joe and I will post the schedule here once we decide on our school days, baby, our school days programming. And then, oh my God, then it's going to be October and we got the new Exorcist movie coming out.
Yes.
Did you see the trailer for that?
I did.
What'd you think?
Not too keen.
Listen.
I'll lower my expectations. I will see it. Listen, these guys proved to me with their last three pieces of shit that I'm a lifer. Whatever they do, I hope they drag it out into three parts every single time, and I am there.
Which is what I love about the fucking, like, the horror community, is they go see these things and then are like, these guys don't deserve to work. And they are just funneling fucking money into their thing. Oh. I know you and me are in we want to be tortured. Like, that's,
I'm only happy when I'm miserable.
That's our goal. But other people like to have, like, see good film, but they still go and see these things and fucking pay for it. And it's like, hey, that's why they're still making them. That's because, guess what? Because I was talking to somebody recently and they were like, yeah, but the reviews were so bad of the Halloween ones. And I was like, No one gives a fuck about reviews in 2023. It's fucking capitalism, baby. Like, if you're making money, who gives a shit if the reviews are bad? Imagine making a fucking $1 billion and, like, the reviews are bad. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to make the same fucking thing again.
Right, right.
And I'm a billionaire now. But those I'm kind of excited to see it, but I'm so excited because it's such a movie that you can't do this to. that's what makes it funnier to me. Is like
bring a once in a lifetime event. Your child is possessed by a demon and thwarted by a sacred rite. And it worked.
It worked.
And now you're bringing it back.
Running it back. And then, by the way, not being like, my favorite part of the trailer was not being like, when they're like, you know who we need? And you're like, well, a fucking exorcist for one. Like a fucking priest that can perform an exorcist and that guy's dead. So what are you going to say? They're like, fucking Linda Blair, the person that got possessed. Why would you keep her as far away from me as possible?
And why would she, like, agree? You know what I mean?
You're like, I'm not going there. What are you saying?
Most traumatizing event of her life, no doubt. Have to relive that.
Oh, my God. I'm so
I can't wait. I can't. It's my most anticipated movie of the year.
So that's kind of, we'll have to crowbar that into our, how many Exorcist movies are there? And is that our October fucking?
So after Friedkin passed, people are like, you have to do The Exorcist, which we've never done a full episode to The Exorcist, which is
classic.
You know, year 10.
One of these days.
But yes, there's three of the originals, and then there's the Dominion. I think this one, like New Beginning.
Oh yeah. We just talked about those because the guy that did Deep Blue Sea was involved. Yeah. In one of them.
Oh, by the way, great live show. Great live show.
Oh, yeah. If you guys missed that, go back and watch the replay on the Patreon page. It's so good. That was such a fun time. Great movie, too, man. Deep Blue Sea.
Legitimately great.
Fucking amazing. That was a top-tier shark film. Like, it definitely second to Jaws, in my opinion.
It's hard to argue.
Actually, I think it's better than Jaws. I'm going to be honest.
It's, well, all right.
More action per minute.
Yes.
Hey, guess what? It didn't break down like Steven Spielberg's shitbag shark animatronic. So who's the better fucking filmmaker? No, it was really good, though.
If Richard Dreyfuss was replaced with LL Cool J, I do think Jaws would be undeniably the greatest.
How about at the end where you're supposed to think LL Cool J is dead, and he opens one eye in clearly a mistake that they left in the film?
That's my favorite scene. We rewound it back.
We rewound it like 4 times because he fucking opens one fucking eye just to peek around and be like, is the scene over yet? Like, very clearly not part of that. You're supposed to think he's fucking not alive until she comes up to him. And then he's like, oh, hey. Also, yeah, he was bit by a shark and fucking dragged around a fucking ocean. Dude, that movie fucking rules. I fucking love that. Okay. So that's that. Follow us on Instagram at I Hate Horror to get the updates on what our September schedule is. And we'll be posted on Patreon soon, the bonus episode from today, and our upcoming live show, which that'll be fun to choose. There's got to be another exorcism movie that we can do.
Well, there's tons. You don't want Exorcist 3 for live show?
Or do we want to do Halloween Resurrection for the live show? Or whatever the one we didn't do.
Oh, dude, I want... Fuck. The kind of...
Right. We'll sit on it.
There's 1,000 Exorcist movies. We can come back. We got to do the first one.
Yeah.
But I really want to do a full episode on Resurrection.
Okay, we'll do Resurrection as our Halloween episode.
Okay.
All right. So that'll we'll figure it out. Anyway,
dude, doing those Halloween movies each October has been like, I look forward to it.
Now. Yeah, it's fun. Are we almost done with them though, or no? I would just run them back again.
Resurrection's last, dude. Give the people what they want. Let's just keep recycling the material.
I mean, odds are my take will change somehow every fucking time.
Have we ever done the first two? And we got to do part three again because we did it our first year and we're both like, this sucks. And then we both, or at least me and Tina, like we watched it together that first time before we were even married. And we're like, this is stupid. And then we just kept watching it every year. And now I'm like, this is amazing.
I don't know if it's amazing, but we could redo it. I do want to go back to like some of the year one movies and kind of fucking talk about them. So patreon.com/IHateHorror, you can do the live show, you can listen to our bonus episodes, and you get the free ad-free version of the show there, which is cool. We got our merch up, thehorrorshowstore.com, tons of merch there you can pick up. So I would definitely go check that out. Patreon, The Horror Show Store, Instagram at IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boognish1985.
And that is a wrap. Thank you all so much. Thank you to Joe. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Fucking zombie getting sliced and diced.